Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans, presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Edley's Barbecue, a family-owned business that is local to Nashville. PK sporting his nice Edley's Barbecue shirt today.
If you're among the hundreds watching us on all of these apps, the one that I'm most familiar with is, of course, the Twitter. You can see this gorgeous shirt that they sent me.
It is nice.
The back is also lovely. That's good for you, Joe. Edley's is locally
owned.
Show off
your tramp stamp.
The lower area is perfectly covered. Edley's is a locally and family-owned business serving up the best barbecue in Nashville. Make sure you check out Edley's Game Day Eats, available from now through the big game. It's if you haven't planned your weekend food, get on it today. Edley's will provide the good times and the great food for you to enjoy on game day. Choose from ribs, wings, hot chicken salad, and hot links. No matter the combination, you can't go wrong with Edley's on game day. Go check out Edley's at any of their convenient locations around town.
So, PK, we had some fun with this yesterday, discussing Diana Russini on the Athletic Football Podcast and the comments that she made about a general manager approaching her at the Senior Bowl, and talking about why Mike Vrabel did not land a job this coaching cycle, and mentioning that the physical presence of Mike Vrabel potentially playing a factor in that. And of course, we got a lot of reaction to that yesterday, had a lot of fun with it. Do we have that clip, Nick? Let's set up that clip again real quickly for our listeners who may have missed it yesterday.
What is your sense of why Mike Vrabel doesn't have a head coaching job right now?
I don't think that there was a fit for him. I don't think he sat in front of any owner who thought that his style was going to work for what they were looking for. Do you know I had a GM at the Senior Bowl who mentioned to me Vrabel's physical build, that he's a very large human being and can be very intimidating to people in an organization that are going to be part of these decisions. And that is a factor, which I laughed. I said, stop. That's not something that's real. Who cares what someone physically looks like? And he said, I'm just telling you, I've been in rooms. And somebody's physical presence can make a difference. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Outside of football, it has an effect, right? They always say really tall men have better opportunities.
So that was Diana Russini yesterday on the Athletic Football Podcast. What's your reaction to that?
I just think if it came out that somebody didn't get a job because of his insufficient physical stature, it would be a multiple day story and somewhat of a scandal. I do think Dean Spanos was ready to hire Mike Vrabel if Harbaugh fell through. So I don't think he made zero impression on any owners this go around. But I just, the idea that if he's the right coach for you, if he's saying the right things, if his personality strikes you, if his philosophy strikes you, his physical stature should have absolutely nothing to do with it. You know, that physical stature comes with having been an awfully good football player, a three-time champion football player. So, but listen, some of these owners are really stupid when it comes to common sense things. You know, the more eccentric you are, eccentric is by definition weird. The weirder you are, the dumber things can come into play. And so am I completely surprised that somebody might have said that? Actually, no.
So I'm going to reread something I read yesterday, which I thought was interesting, from my coworker Nick Baumgartner at The Athletic about this whole thing. I just want to get your reaction to it, PK. Quote, as about the size thing, which to me is tied to he's an intimidating personality, right? But that's part of it. But, quote, as insane as this sounds, when you know how many frauds make their way into NFL buildings, it's not remotely far-fetched. Good ex-player head coaches scare the bleep out of non-playing suits because of how fast they win the locker room and expose said frauds every time. They see how ex-players can walk into a room and own it, command respect from every corner, even in the worst moments, in ways the front office just can't. They want alignment. If your GM is weak, soft, and doesn't get ball, the coach also needs to be weak and soft, end quote. That's an interesting take on all of this.
I think that's an excellent take. I don't think it's a hard and fast rule, but I think there are elements to that that absolutely ring true. And when that former player wins that locker room, makes it hard for other people you want empowered to have the degree of power that you want. And I think we saw that to a degree here last year.
Are you surprised that Vrabel did not end up with a job this cycle? And what do you think is next for him?
Yeah, I'm absolutely surprised. I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I raised my hand. My opinion was wrong. A lot of people have come at me saying, you know, I set the wrong there. I had an opinion, right? It's not very hard in the NFL. People like take joy to take a lapse that I had a wrong opinion. First off, I don't see them tweeting every single person that had that same wrong opinion. And there were, you know,
dozens.
Everybody in this market and practically everybody nationally. So I look forward to seeing those tweets and seeing if all those people say the same thing that I'm saying, which is raising my hand and saying I had the wrong opinion. But they're saying like I was part of setting a narrative. Having an opinion is not crafting a narrative. I wasn't trying to get Mike Vrabel a job. I don't have the power to help Mike Vrabel get a job. So I was wrong. And I'll have
more like Tom Pelissero and tweets and stuff that his agent tells you to tweet.
Who blocked me? I can't wait. I hope. Here's my dream on that quickly. I've been in situations. Now, Vrabel won't be at the owners' meeting, so it won't happen. But like I've been in situations where some national folks are talking to Vrabel, and I've walked in on that conversation. Here's my dream: Vrabel would be there, and I would walk into Russini and Rappaport and Pelissero talking to Vrabel, and I would join the conversation. And in a pause, I'd say, "Hey, Mike, this guy blocked me on Twitter." Because I said he was being a mouthpiece for agents. What do you think of that? And then I would just let Vrabel go. Because Vrabel would absolutely, I guarantee, say, you blocked him? Like, how soft are you? Or something on that. To and the point where Pelissero would be shamed out of it. Because I would say, hey, this is an off-the-record conversation, Tom. But I am tweeting that the moment we walk away from here. So your move, buddy. Your move.
Quick trigger by old Pelissero to block you. Didn't last very long.
I don't even know what what specifically I said because I was much harsher with Schefter a couple days later. But I think I would love to start a local movement that turns national where everybody says this. When you see a tweet from a national reporter that is clear and obvious, direct wording from an agent, everybody should say, hey, that agent wrote a nice tweet on your account. Why not? Let's do that. I got blocked for
that
all
many
of
times,
us.
Yeah.
I shed blood for all of us in getting blocked by Pelissero, who's got a good relationship with Callahan, is going to have Titans information. It's going to be a pain in my ass not to see his stuff. But I took this bullet. Now let's all go together and say, hey, nice tweet from that agent.
We can all get blocked. Nobody in Nashville will know anything if Pelissero breaks news on the Titans.
I'm going to have to it's not inactive, but I have to figure out the password to my second account.
Yeah.
So that I could, but it's still a pain to have to flip over there to see what Pelissero.
So you do have a burner account?
It's not a burner account. It's Paul Kuharsky.
Oh, it's a burner
account.
It's not.
It's Paul Kuharsky as opposed to Paul Kuharsky NFL because ESPN was messing with us so much at the beginning that they were going to have ownership of our Twitter accounts. We all said, hey, we need to establish our own accounts so if they try to take these away from us when we're at the end, we have some kind of social media presence.
So
at the beginning, I was ESPN AFC South was my Twitter.
That's not great. You were making a point before I'm sorry that I introduced Tom Pelissero, but you were making a point.
Yeah, remind me what it was or what the topic was.
Robbie, what's next for Vrabel?
If he goes in the media, I'm going to destroy him on a regular basis. I do think the coordinator thing may be more of a viable possibility than we think, if not this year, next year, if he doesn't get a job. I do think that there are jobs. I'll get killed for this. If he doesn't get one, I do think there are jobs that will come open next year that are more suited for him. And maybe if some of these guys who are signing up for this great alignment movement this year, if that doesn't go so well majority-wise, some owners might say, well, the alignment thing isn't working out that well. Maybe I need an authoritative head coach to come in here and shake some things up.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe, you had a follow-up question for PK.
Well, you were riffing on the whole, and actually I think there was at least one tweet where maybe all of us and many others were tagged by somebody like, you guys owe the Titans fans an apology, you know, on the way things turned out with Vrabel and stuff. One person in particular said, you owe Miss Amy. Amy Adams Strunk an apology for, you know, for criticizing ownership. I mean, I think the phrase I had was the Titans have an ownership problem. And I think first of all, you have to separate those two things. And I reject that. I mean, at this point, like, all owners in the NFL should be able to fall into decent hires. And this may work out beautifully for the Titans. Yeah. And if so, then I'm not saying she wouldn't deserve credit. Let's see how it works out. But all the things that led to Vrabel's firing, even if there are things that are his fault, and that's fair, there are, it's still, add it all up together, I stand by everything, all those criticisms. I mean, the huge extensions, we're going all in on this, and then we're going all in on this, and we're firing this guy, GM midseason, and all these things. Nothing has changed because Vrabel didn't get a job. And, you know, I'm still also, I'm skeptical that Vrabel is going to get iced out of the NFL now because he's too authoritarian or whatever. I think this situation here and how it unfolded this year hurt him, right? I mean, it hurt him. And I think he could have done some things better, for sure. And I understand that some people don't like the way he goes about things. That's fine. But, you know, let's also wait and see how it plays out with Vrabel, because I think Vrabel is going to be a head coach in this league again. And
I think he'll have a good second chapter. I stick with that, absolutely. I'll say this. I listened to Chad Brinker on the team's podcast.
Yep.
And there was some good stuff in there, and I wrote about it. He makes it sound – he didn't say this, but when you listen to everything he says, he makes it sound like all that they're doing going forward – makes you say, well, what the hell were they doing in the past? Makes it sound like they were in the Stone Age, which put me on the defensive for Vrabel. I wrote this paragraph. Let me read one paragraph. This is the quality stuff you're getting at paulkuharsky.com. The old stuff they're being critical of was enabled by somebody, right? Ownership and management watched it happen. Are they claiming to be victims of the coach they hired? I know Vrabel was very good at wielding his power well. But what does it say about how the people above him did with theirs?
You know, great point.
Were Burke Nihil and Amy Adams Strunk so fearful of Vrabel that they, his bosses, couldn't handle him? Because that's what a lot of this sounded like. Well, we got to get out of this silo thinking, they're saying now. Well, couldn't you say something to Vrabel along the course of his leadership stuff, saying, Mike, we're too much in silos here. We need to change some of the way you operate. You're his boss.
It's a great point.
You own the team. Change things along the way. You can't say, well, once Mike's done here, we're really going to change some things. But while he's here, we're just going to have to put up with the way he operates. Well, what business leaders do that?
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think it may have to do with
his physical stature.
He'll beat the crap out of everybody, you know? It's like, well, you're going
to – if we say this –
you're going to mess with the Incredible Hulk,
he's going to strain into the toilet. It's going to be bad.
Yeah,
we can't
swirlies for everyone.
That's right. It's like the Hulk just has a meltdown and just blows up the whole building. But, you know, it may have something to do with, like, I mean, he is overpowering as a personality, yeah, right? So, but you got to
stand up to him.
You do. Dennis asked a question, and I know we want to limit the Vrabel, you know, topic today, but Dennis said, do you think he has a shelf life in the locker room where his style gets old for some players after 3 to 4 seasons, like Laviolette?
No.
So my
45% new roster last year. It turns over so much.
Yeah,
and the guys who stay are there in large part because they're aligned with the head coach.
The strongest supporters for him, like Simmons and Landry, right? Those are the guys for
Henry.
Yeah.
The three long-term guys.
So, you know, I think he rubs some people the wrong way. I mean, Tier Tart doesn't like Mike Vrabel. David Long, you know, whoever. Like, Fulton will leave, and he'll go on a podcast next year and rip Vrabel. You know, I mean, yeah, that's going to happen. He can be a total...
I actually don't think Fulton will, because I don't think it's his personality. But I get your point.
Yeah, but there's still, well, certainly from his family, displeasure. Well,
with, his dad will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he probably already is.
Everybody's daddy needs to be quiet.
What do you make of the coaching staff that Brian Callahan has put together? Denard Wilson coming in as DC, Nick Holes coming in as offensive coordinator, and now the Bill Callahan move official, him coming over from the Browns to the Titans. Let's start on the DC side of things, the hiring of Denard Wilson.
I think it was a popular and Rand Carthon said this on that same podcast or conceded it when questioned about it, that he was, for a lot of head coaching candidates, said Denard Wilson? I just blanked out on his last name. Was the guy they said, you know, was the guy they were going to be able to bring as their defensive coordinator. Very popular guy to say that you thought you could bring with you. So he was a very good get for them. They thought on that respect that they were winning some competitions. You know, great secondary experience, has worked with a lot of good players. I think it'll lead to some more blitzing, which I said in the past, Titans not a very blitz-happy team under Shane Bowen. And the previous regime, partly dictated by personnel, right? You needed numbers in the secondary. You got to have better secondary so that you don't need the numbers back there and you could bring some additional people. Nick Holtz, I'm more skeptical of. People want me to hammer him, you know, and if people think, and I know people are in love with Callahan right now and they should be, but if Mike Vrabel hired a friend of his from high school, the city would burn.
That is true.
So we got to keep that in mind. I need to see something from Nick Holtz. I want to talk to Brian Callahan about what makes Nick Holtz the next Brian Callahan, because he doesn't have anything close to the resume that Brian Callahan had when Zach Taylor hired him.
Yeah.
And I was hoping for something like that. So the proof is in the pudding with him.
Is it Holtz or Holes?
I saw a pronunciation, I think, in the Titans press release that said Holtz.
Okay.
So I had it right to start with.
Good job.
And then you talked me out of it.
I'm sorry.
You did it.
But there's no T, so, you know.
There's no T in it, but I think it's pronounced Holtz.
But that's look, he was a assistant wide receivers coach. And obviously, I think the UNLV year as OC helped him, right? I mean, it must have been. Got him the Jags job, which now makes it logical for him to be an OC after that.
A non-play calling OC, maybe. But it's very slim on experience.
But still, I mean, just 2 years ago, he's assistant wide receiver coach of the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's pretty fast from that
no
to questions. This.
Yes.
Well, then the Bill
he's
Callahan.
He's the biggest question. Bill Callahan, superb hire. Joe was right in terms of Cleveland letting him out. Good
like
call
you thought
by you.
He wasn't going to get let out.
Good call by
Thank
you.
Thank you for bringing that up.
And somehow Stefanski was in front of a press conference microphone. They must have been introducing staff or something, where he said, you know, basically what you said, you know, you can't not, which was a very classy move.
Get in there and make those wallets, Bill.
And I talked to two guys, a very good guy who was coached by Bill Callahan, Alan Faneca, a Hall of Famer, who went from Pittsburgh after 10 years to the Jets where Callahan was coaching him. And he said, you know, tendency for a lot of guys would be just to plug in somebody with my resume at that point and let me go. And he did not do that. He looked for ways and new things. I'd been in the same system for 10 years. He said, what about this? Have you thought about that? Well, maybe we should try this, and helped make me a better player at that stage of my career. And he talked with super respect. And then I talked to another guy, I'm forgetting his first name, Joe Panos, who's an agent now. Joe Panos played for him at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And
he was a mauler for the Badgers.
Played for him at the Eagles. And he said, I'm, you know, a big human being, but I'm not a big offensive lineman. And he basically taught me that, you know, showed me. If I didn't do it right, I would lose. I had to do it right every single time, and he taught me how to do it right every single time. And I had a career because of him. I started out at Wisconsin where I was a defensive lineman playing some scout team on the offensive line, and he saw that I had no chance on defense, and he kind of went behind the defensive lineman coach's back and said, you need to come play offensive line. It's the only chance you have. He said, there's no me without him.
Everything we've heard about Bill Callahan has been incredible, just in terms of the the background that he brings. You know, we had Jason Lloyd on yesterday talking about, you know, he made careers for players and contracts. And you have to think, like, from strictly the offensive line standpoint, if you just make even close to the right decisions, this is a huge moment for the Titans to get him over.
And Dylan Panos, Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Joe Panos, by the way, just to balance out your, of course Cleveland was going to let him out. I was informing him that Cleveland let him out. He's like, no way! Are you kidding me? I can't believe they let him out. This is an agent, I mean, who's been in the business for a long time. He could not fathom that Cleveland let him out.
Because he wasn't using his noggin.
Very
can't
smart.
Not guy. Let him out.
If I'm picking between the noggin of Joe Panos, a very successful NFL agent, or Joseph Rexroad, who scribbles some words down once in a while and talks about all kinds of craziness.
You better
on the radio,
respect I'm my genius on this program.
Joe Panos.
More with Paul Kuharski coming up next. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us. Presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Edley's Barbecue voted Nashville's best barbecue for 2023.
And management here is working against my sponsor, Edley's. As you can see, if the hundreds of you that are watching, the thousands maybe, I've had to put a jacket over the Edley's t-shirt because it is now freezing in here.
It is.
It's not freezing at Edley's. The temperature is perfect, and the temperature of the food is perfect. It's a local family-owned business. It was voted the best barbecue in Nashville for the second year in a row in 2023. Which makes sense because their food's spectacular and their service is second to none. Their goal is to make the world a better place by making people happy. They're certainly doing just that. I never walk out of there without a smile on my face because the burnt ends are so good. Go support Nashville's best barbecue at one of Edley's convenient locations or get Edley's catered for your next event. I suspect you might be having one on Sunday. You can't go wrong with Edley's. Go check them out.
So, PK, we rolled through this
and get
earlier.
Get this T-shirt. It's soft as can be.
It looks very nice. Very nice T-shirt that's now covered up by the jacket.
Yeah.
So, we went through this earlier. The Titans, roughly $68 million in cap space, according to overthecap.com. And we've gone through the laundry list of needs that they have, whether it's safety, corner. I think edge rusher needs to be included. I think right tackle needs to be included. But we can go up and down on who we agree with. Regardless, there's a lot of needs that they have. And a limited amount of draft capital, particularly when you remember they do not have a third-round pick at the moment this year as well. So as we sit here today, given everything that they need, how do you go about addressing – we'll start with the secondary, with safety and corner specifically. Can you do that all in one offseason? What do you think the Titans' plan of attack will be there?
I think they can do enough in one offseason. I mean, my thinking – we've harped on Vrabel a lot here. My thinking with Vrabel was – no, my thinking with Vrabel was they could get back to a place where he had a good enough framework of people, good enough backbone of talent, that filling in the cracks around that, he has proved he can field the competitive or even a solid winning team. And they got too far away from that, right? So I think they should be able to get to there. Not that I'm going to be picking them to win, you know. But if they got somebody like Chidobe Awuzie from the Bengals at corner, I think he'd be better than anybody they have. Is he elite? Elite? No. And I want them to have an elite corner, and that's the problem with the draft. I mean, if you're getting truly elite guys, they're most likely coming from the draft. They have a shot at two. They're not getting an elite guy in the fourth unless you hit the kind of home run that they haven't been hitting. They're due for one, so maybe they find a guy who turns out to be elite in the fourth or the fifth. It's probably not immediately elite, though, right? So you're counting on a lot. You're counting on the first rounder to be elite and the second rounder to be elite, and those need to be an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, or a corner in some combination. I would say offensive line, absolutely. What you do in free agency at those other positions, you know. I mean, the top guy on Over the Cap's cornerback list, I think they put him in some kind of order based on that it's based on their current average per year is Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
Right?
What?
Kendall Fuller. I mean, some of these guys are interesting, but they're not like, oh, give me that guy.
Legarius Sneed is very good.
Yes. And so and that'd be good.
That could be, you know. That's high, that's a high number.
Edge guys, there are some interesting guys out there, you know, for sure. But there are age questions. Everybody in free agency has some kind of question about them, right?
Yes.
Without a doubt. And that's the thing.
I mean,
you have
if Brian Burns gets to free agency, then great. I don't have many questions about Brian Burns.
Right.
He's amazing, but I don't think he'll get there.
Yeah, you're talking about franchise tag possibilities or new contracts, and people aren't gonna get there. Same thing with T. Higgins, you know, and I think you'd overpay T. Higgins to a point, but there's probably a team out there that would overpay him to a larger point.
Oh, my turn?
I thought so. I can go.
All right, well, okay.
Both of you fight.
See, now I'm taking – I need to go back on the Nick Holtz thing because I do feel that right now we're in very much in the honeymoon phase, right? It's always a honeymoon phase.
Of course.
When you have a new hire. So Zach, football and other F words, he talked about his more extensive resume than Bobby Slowick. As he mentions, Holtz got the –
Well, I wasn't a big fan of Bobby. I mean, he's talking about for offensive coordinator. That's fine. More extensive resume than Bobby Slowick coming into Houston is what he's saying?
I believe so.
Right. And yeah. And so I said one
different – He wasn't with Mike Shanahan, so I'll say that.
So I said one difference, as we talked about, Slowick was obviously with the head coach, with the Niners, high success, and he was with Kyle Shanahan. So Zach's response is, how is that difference in regards to experience or resume? Just the kingmaker bump of working next to Shanahan for four seasons on offense? That automatically trumps 17 years of offensive experience for Holtz, end quote. And you know what? I don't know. Holtz may be great, but the 17 years of experience is still not a lot that has led to OC. It did recently, and he's definitely the question, right?
I'll take the kingmaker element.
I think the king.
The kingmaker element's been pretty damn successful for McVay / Shanahan related.
Right. You don't dismiss it.
No.
Yeah. Like Slowick ended up great. A year ago, no one knew who the hell Bobby Slowick was, and if Holtz has a great
Holtz
first
could follow
year,
the same
great.
Thing. And we give Callahan the benefit of the doubt on this. But if it doesn't go well, if we're consistent, we say, you hired a guy you went to high school with?
Yeah. No, that's the ultimate. Again.
You hired a guy your brother worked with? I mean, if we're doing the Vrabel thing, Vrabel had nobody who was a buddy to that degree.
Well, and again, the whole buddy thing, let's Vrabel, whoever you want. Everybody
you hire
does
people
that.
You know.
Everybody exactly. does that. They hire people that they know and trust and think are good. Like if you hire your beer drinking buddy from high school who has nothing to do with football, now
it's
we really
different.
Have a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little different. So
we have to wait and see on this guy. And look, it's the trend. And he talked about – Brian Callahan talked about having a mix of age and youth and up-and-comers and established. We don't know that much about the staff yet, but certainly his father is the veteran anchor of this staff, and Holtz could be at the other end, and he's not that young and not that inexperienced, you know, in the context of young and inexperienced guys we see in the league. We're going to see some position coaches. I think Outen – the running back coach is staying. I suspect Harris, the cornerback coach, is staying. Steve Jackson has some experience. We know about him. Frank Bush, this is his third time working for the franchise. He's got some experience.
What do you think of him?
I don't love Frank Bush, though. When he was here under Munchak, he didn't have much to work with.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting
he was not
out
my favorite position coach.
Yeah, you're tweeting out who he's working with.
Akeem Ayers.
Do I blame him for this group of linebackers? You know, I can't really. Yeah,
no. But I think when the guys work for the organization in two separate stints already, I would say go ahead and find.
But
somebody
he hasn't worked for Brian Callahan.
No,
that is true.
The dynamic of, I mean, it really is going to be fascinating. The dynamic of because Bill Callahan, I think, is a great. Whatever you want to call it, wise old, you know, veteran coach on a staff to help a young coach. But the fact that he's the father of the head coach, it's fascinating. I mean, it's never happened before.
No, it's going to be really interesting kind of how that plays out there, the dynamic. And then the rest of the staff, right? Like how it's pretty young staff that they're piecing together right now. How do they handle kind of the rigors of being the first time, like first time head coach, first time DC, first time OC? That's a lot of lot of inexperience there with the main parts of your coaching staff. How do you handle that?
It's a big question, and there's so much to do now, right? Because they have to come up. You say, well, it's a long time before the season, but they have to come up with what they want. And Carthon was talking about this. You know, you get kind of a profile per position, which is obvious. But drawing up their playbook and all of that, they're not going to be done with it before the draft and everything. But they have to be done with what we the kind of guy we want at this position to do what we want.
Yeah.
You have to be done with as they're working on their draft board, which is pretty fast because the staff's not in. They're going to the combine to look at guys. They don't know exactly what they're looking for in a cornerback yet while they're there. So they're going to talk to these guys and watch film and stuff, but they're going to have to re-examine all of it after Callahan has the staff fully assembled. And after they spend some time together to come to conclusions about what we want in a left tackle and what we want in the second safety who's playing next to Monty Hooker and all of that. So there's a lot of work. I know last night they're having scouting meetings now. They weren't done. You know, and you would figure, like, they're cramming in the work, right? But I would have figured they finished 6, 7 o'clock. I think they were there until at least 8. You know, and I'm sure they're starting at 7.
Oh, yeah. We'll have more with Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com coming up next. Take more of your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com with us. PK Super Bowl 58 coming up on Sunday. Kansas City, San Francisco. What do you think of that matchup? Who you got?
I am now of the don't be dumb and think Mahomes is going to lose school, group, faction. So that's where I am. I've been invested in these games. I guess this fits my personality in rooting against Mahomes. I was really pissed at the Bills. And I was really pissed at the Ravens. And I usually don't have much of a rooting interest in these games. I just want to see good games. I was partially pissed at those teams because they did not allow me to enjoy a very good fourth quarter in those games.
So were you like this with Brady and the Pats at a certain point?
I guess I was. But, you know, there were big gaps, too, in the Patriots dynasty.
Yeah.
And this is
people forget that.
This is just a constant right now. This 4-year constant might be longer than or as long as any of the Patriots constants.
Yeah, it's almost more like the Steelers once they got it going in the 70s from about 74 to 80, right? Like that's kind of the
Yeah.
What are you laughing
at? And that was
at?
Just at the okay, beginning boomer. Of my That's just at the beginning of my rooting.
Like when Bradshaw was slinging it around out there.
Those Canton Bulldogs were amazing in 1938.
Late 70s.
Question for both of you guys. If the Niners win, and by the way, so we're doing our predictions of the Athletic. I'll give you a little hint. Man, very few people at the Athletic think the Niners will win. I can tell you that. And I feel like that's kind of the prevailing sentiment.
Aren't they the favorite?
Yeah, I know.
Niners are favorite, yeah. Which is dumb.
But if the Niners win, is the narrative more, yes, Brock Purdy is great, give him his flowers, or here we go, folks, you can win a Super Bowl without Mahomes or one of those guys. Here's another example. Because
absolute.
You have a great all-around roster around a good quarterback.
I mean, it depends a little bit on how he plays in that
yes.
win. If it's a Christian McCaffrey game, you know, I don't know that it affects that narrative. But it's absolutely a copycat league. And if they win with Brock Purdy playing well, I mean, that narrative is going to be strong. You can win with Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback. You don't need, these four quarterbacks aren't going top 10 anymore. You don't need to trade up for Jaden Daniels,
It's more hope for the whole league, like if the Niners win, right?
Yes.
Well,
I think so. But you got to have the young offensive guru, so, you know, at head coach. So that trend. You know, there were more defensive coaches hired here than we expected, Quinn and McDonald and that. So those fan bases right away are thinking, oh, my God, we hired defense, and look, Shanahan, you know, did it, and McVay's done it, and, you know, you're going the wrong direction here. Though this is offense versus offense, so either way, you've got that. But I think it goes crazy if Purdy wins the Super Bowl and does well, and in any way can be seen as outplaying Mahomes, which I doubt. I think even if he wins, he doesn't outplay Mahomes. But I think that's the story. Big. I think
if they win, all you got to do is find a stud left tackle, the best linebackers in football, a receiving core that's unbelievable, maybe the best offensive weapon in football, Christian McCaffrey. Simple a great point. Tight end and George Kittle, and if you could do that, then yeah.
There you go. See?
Yeah, Mr. Everybody has one.
BK, thanks for being with us.
Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
That's going to do it for us today on the program. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.